Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. I am sitting here with a returning Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And returning from maybe, I don't know, 8-9 months ago,
yeah,
special
like
guest,
that.
John Norris.
How are you?
So welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Good
John,
to see you. Thanks.
And Jason, welcome back from your honeymoon. You've been globetrotting.
Oh, thanks, guys. Wow.
With the love of your life.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true. You know, I didn't listen to that much music. I only listened to music while I was traveling, and I was traveling to over around France and Italy, to let the listeners know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really listen to that much like modern music. I listened to a lot of like, I don't know. I listened to a lot of like Roxy music and like
Love
old
Roxy.
Drake and weird stuff like that, which I really enjoyed.
Cool.
But I listened to the new Churches album. I guess we'll talk about that next week, maybe.
Probably next week, yeah.
But
I still haven't listened to that. Only a couple of the songs.
Oh, it's so good.
Don't
so
spoil good. Anything for me.
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
This song is good. but thank you, guys. Thank you.
No, it's good to have you back. And since you've been gone, I'm not.
You can breathe for the first time?
I can breathe for the first time. No, we've only really done one podcast. I keep meaning to do more, but I was out of town for my sister's wedding, and then... then some other things happened to me, and so it's good to be back, though. On
are you
podcast.
Okay?
I am okay.
All right,
yeah,
I'm a little concerned. That sounded
busy.
Ominous.
Yeah, but let's dive in to some must-hear music. I'm sad, though, because we missed talking about the Bieber song, the new Bieber, which I love, but you know what?
You know what? I'm so, like, whacked out and jet-lagged. I thought you said the new Bieber song, and I was like, what's going on in the U.S. now?
Pop star called Bieber, and boy, have you missed out on a lot.
Anyway.
All right, so let's start with the big one for the week. We have a new One Direction song called Infinity from their, we knew they had an album coming up, but we just found out the title is called Made in the AM, and it's coming out November 13th. They have a video announcing it, and when they first said it, I was like, imagining a maid, like a maid in Manhattan situation, like just a maid cleaning up in the morning. But then they meant like it was created maid in the AM. So I
not a housekeeper situation.
Not a housekeeper thing. And wow. I was just imagining like Harry in like a housekeeper outfit. And but I was
wow.
When I saw the title, I thought this is code for maid in the after Malik.
Ooh.
Oh!
Wow.
I like that.
That is good. I love
well
that.
Done.
Reading too much into it, probably, but.
Made in the after. Well, it is. Yeah, it's a post-Malik world now.
It is.
But yeah, so the song is called Infinity. They released it with pre-orders of the album, but then they put it on Spotify anyway, which is great because, no offense, but I'm not going to buy the album. But I want to hear it. So it's out there. It's called Infinity. This is a Jason pick, so I'm going to shuttle it to Jason.
Yeah, well, it's funny. You say it's a Jason pick, but you were like, I assume you're going to pick the new One Direction song. And
I did kind of pull Jason's arm.
Yeah, that's fine. So One Direction, Infinity, it's a non-single, and I'm happy it's a non-single because I really don't like this song. I feel like they do this kind of power ballad well a lot. It's like I like You and I and Story of My Life and Ready to Run, but I just think that this one totally misses the mark. And I think part of it is the lyrics, and I was just pulling them up on my phone. The lyrics are just like, you know, it's not like One Direction lyrics. It's not like And even like hardcore One Direction fans would not be like, ah, this is all poetry. Like, no, like it's mostly about like the vocal performance and the melodies and whatnot. But like the lyrics on Infinity are like particularly pretty weak. Like the chorus starts, how many nights does it take to count the stars? That's the time it would take to fix my heart. And like the whole song takes its cue from like that. It's like, there's no detail in these lyrics. It's just like being frozen in time and the eyes don't shine anymore and lost without you and nothing's okay. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like there's just nothing really special about this song. And I wrote about this song, and the one thing I said was like, they still sound good without Zayn as they did on Drag Me Down. Mm-hmm. But like, this just is not their best version of this song that they've already made a lot. So.
Do you guys like it?
I'm curious to see what you guys thought.
It's a little too much bombast for me, but you know, and so also in that sort of weird, little Mumford, a little Coldplay-ish kind of that in between that space that I don't really love them in. So, but that I think that's because I liked the older, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The you older, like, younger One Direction.
Yeah. I think so.
You know what was weird? Sorry, a quick aside. That like one thing I saw, I think it was yesterday. I think it was while I was traveling. That it was like there was a hashtag, 3 years since LWWY, and I was like, what does that mean? And it's 3 years since Live While We're Young. That was like three albums ago. Like they just put out so much music. Anyway, so yeah.
That's true.
I mean, it just made me think of that because you're like, I like their older stuff, but like it was like 2.5 years ago.
But they've done so much and grown so much.
That's true. Haven't we?
So can I ask you quickly what you think of the impending Battle Royale of November 13th?
Yeah.
The Biebs
versus the Biebs. 1D. So the One Direction album's coming out November 13th. And, you know, we've heard sources told me specifically that the Bieber album's coming out November 13th. They haven't announced it, so they could still change it, I guess. But
Scooter tweeted right before I left the house. I saw Scooter tweeted just hashtag November 13th with a smiley face.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. I did not see that.
Yeah.
So, this is kind of interesting, right? Yeah. But, you know, one of them is not going to be number one if they release on the same day, but Justin Bieber has 5 number one albums. He was the youngest artist ever to have 5 number one albums. And then One Direction has had is 4 for 4 with all of their albums. So we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I admittedly, like, I'm chart stats. Ugh, I'm mangling this sentence.
You okay?
I'm having a heart attack. I feel like even if One Direction, like, gets number one, which they probably will against Bieber, like, his album will have more staying power.
I don't know.
Like, more momentum right now than they do, though?
I feel with the radio, he's definitely, like, their songs just, like, hit the radio and then disappear, and, like, mm-hmm. his are kind of, like, staying. There's some presence there.
You know, the Bieber album that came out last, which was Believe It, back in 2012, sold, I think, like, 340,000 copies this first week, which was, at that time, the largest debut of the year, of that year, and then it got eclipsed by Taylor Swift Red. But like it's interesting because you think like One Direction is the big album seller, but they're kind of like you said, they're trending downward. Their fourth album didn't sell as much as their third album first week, and Bieber's trending upward. So I think it's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, well, let's listen to it. So it's a new One Direction song, Infinity. My quick thoughts on it: I think the verse is fine, and then it gets to the chorus and I'm less interested, and that's never a good thing for a song. I do like that there are synths at the end, though. I think at least that saves it from being like a total waste. But yeah, it's an album track and it's called Infinity, and here it is. How many nights does it take to count the stars? That's the time it would take to fix my All right, that is the new One Direction. Next up, this is one of my picks. This is just one of those like unexpected delights that comes along once in a blue moon. So Father John Misty, who is just an bizarre weirdo who has eclectic tastes. Like, you listen to... Okay, let me just start out. Father John Misty is kind of a folk-leaning indie maestro, but he's been in a number... He's made music with a number of different people, and he is a very eclectic musician. Like, Father John Misty's sound is fairly consistent, but John Tillman, the man behind Father John Misty, is a very adept, flexible musician.
Yep.
So he apparently got wind of that Ryan Adams released the whole 1989 Taylor Swift covers album. Apparently thought that was somewhere between amusing and stupid, and decided to not so gently poke fun at the whole thing by releasing two Taylor Swift covers done in the style of early Lou Reed / Velvet Underground. So the one that I'm highlighting is Blank Space, which he's recast as the Velvet Underground's I'm Waiting for the Man. And, like, if you listen to it, it just sounds like Lou Reed. Like,
totally.
It's insane totally. How dead yeah. on his Lou. Like, but it also makes me a little sad because a couple people I know who listened to it were like, oh, is this Father John Misty just a Lou Reed ripoff? And I was like, no, like, this is not his normal sound. Like, he's not only good
Wait,
in his own right.
They sounded like
They had
Tillman?
Never heard him before. Oh, so they were like, oh, it just sounds like he's ripping off Lou Reed. And I was like, well, that's the point. Anyways, so know ahead that this man sounds different from Lou Reed, and he's also capable of a killer Lou Reed impersonation. And he's just singing the Taylor Swift lyrics in the style of Lou Reed, which is more than I could have ever asked for out of the universe. And he put up on his SoundCloud. It disappeared less than 24 hours later, but it's still on YouTube floating around. What did you guys think of this?
I'll defer to John first.
I just thought it was genius. I wasn't quite as enthralled with the whole Ryan Adams project so for someone to do a little, I don't think he's being that, harsh about it, but Tillman is he's an acerbic guy who likes to like poke fun at people. I mean, I remember the first time I met him was years ago when I did a Fleet Foxes interview back when he was playing with Fleet Foxes. And even then, like with this group of five guys that I was talking to, he stood out as this very like kind of prickly guy. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't surprise me that he did something like this. I think it's a spot on Lou Reed. I mean,
it's so funny.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so good.
I just think that, and it's funny because I hate to keep being like, I haven't been here the past couple weeks, but like I haven't. And like, I haven't been like...
It's a weird thing to come back to.
It's a weird thing to come back to. And it feels weird that like these indie rock musicians, which basically what they are basically making music to go viral. Like that's what it seems like to me. Like Ryan Adams, like he recorded a whole album.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. But like, it's cool. It's just more interesting to me than anything. It's like Father John Misty wanted to like not one up him, but get in on the fun, I guess, by being like, oh, I'm going to do this. But as the Velvet Underground, like it's sort of like, I don't know, like this is like designed to be tweeted out instead of like listened to
totally.
And enjoyed. I like it. It's just fascinating to me. It's like a fascinating movement.
I mean, yeah, I think it's internet culture is intertwining with music in a way that I don't know if there's any going back from, and it's like something like this is almost as maybe, you could argue like maybe not the Father John Misty thing, but like as culturally important as just a straight up album release.
Yeah.
Like, people were talking about the Ryan Adams Taylor Swift album in a way that a ton of albums that reach number one on the charts don't even get talked about. Like there are plenty of albums that hit number one that the general public has no idea even came out.
Hashtag Breaking Benjamin.
Exactly. Whereas, like this came out and everyone, even if you had never heard of Ryan Adams, suddenly, which I don't know why you wouldn't have, but suddenly you knew about
it. I think a lot of people have not heard of Ryan Adams.
That's probably true. I feel like, you're right, I guess.
People have or have not.
Have not. I would say that.
I feel like he's been around long enough.
He's been around long enough, but like, what is, before this, like what... Aside from this, I should say, what is Ryan Adams like famous for?
I just feel like he's just always been there. Like just turning out one album after another.
The Cardinals
he's the moon and the sun.
I No, he definitely has an I think a very specific following.
Yeah.
But I think those people who are into him are really super into him.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and my question is how long ago Taylor became aware of Ryan Adams. That's a question that comes to my mind. I mean, she's always willing to have another unlikely member of the squad, seems, be it Beck, St. Vincent, Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, rather, you know, whoever. All unlikely members are seemingly welcome. And there seems to be no end to the number of people who sort of sign on to to Swift's stand-em.
Getting back to Velvet Underground, though, I feel like there's something interesting that he chose to do it Velvet Underground style, because not that, well, maybe it was a couple years ago now.
Has he done, like, Velvet Underground impressions before? I
think so, but I'm also thinking about the, like, similarly viral Pizza Underground.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's band. Like, that seems like kind of just, like, a go-to, like, almost joke. Like, it's a loving joke, but it's also kind of just, like, a fun thing to, like... make fun of parody a little bit.
So you're a big Ryan Adams guy, I take
No,
you're
I'm not actually.
Are you?
I'm not not massive, but yeah,
okay.
Sure.
I just take your statement of he's always been there as like you're a big guy.
I just
guy.
Feel like he's always been, I don't know. Like I've always known people growing up who are just obsessed with him. I've never been one of those people.
Yeah, me neither.
But it seems like every new group of friends I find, there's one person who just like considers him like Neil Young's peer or something like that.
It is going to be interesting. Like this is what he's going to be remembered for. Like in the time capsule, like the same way that the Shins will always be the Garden State Band and Modest Mouse will always have Float On and Feist will always have 1, 2, 3, 4. Like Ryan Adams will have, like this is his thing. Like this is his
Taylor
thing.
Swift
that's
cover
a hell
artist
of a legacy.
Dies at 87. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to me. Anyway.
And then Father John Misty, footnote. Man who mocked Taylor Swift cover artist.
I take it Taylor hasn't responded to the Father John Misty thing.
She has not.
I don't think she will either.
The only thing we know is that she's not responsible for the covers being taken down from SoundCloud.
Oh.
So maybe he decided
no strong,
he
no
like
strong
the
arming there from Big Machine.
Yeah. It seems no. Yeah. But let's listen
from
to it. So we've got
anyone.
Father John Misty covering Ryan Adams. Covering Taylor Swift's Blank Space in the style of the Velvet Underground's I'm Waiting for the Man. Here it is.
Saw you then, I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You could be my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play. New money, suit and tie. I can read you like a magazine. Ain't it funny how rumors fly?
All right, I'm not going to list what that was, but that was Father John Misty singing Blank Space.
It was.
And next up, let's do a John Norris pick. So we've got, let's start with Girl Band. This is a band that, John, I know you are very much into. Song is Pears for Lunch. So what, you interviewed them recently.
I did talk to them recently on the phone from Dublin. They're going to be back here in, I think, November. Amazing band. It's kind of reductive to call them like a noise punk band, but that's what generally the term they get, or noise post-punk, but that's generally the term that gets affixed to them. The thing about them, though, is that track after track on this new album, they kind of throw you off, and you think it's going one place, and then there will be a sort of an abrupt shift within a track, and that's what I love about it. It's just a really, I mean, it goes really clattering and noisy, but then it also goes kind of like no wave. They cite like no wave pioneers and people like Scott Walker, experimental musicians as influences. And I think you definitely
not
hear
the presidential candidates.
Elements of that.
He just dropped out, actually. So that's exciting. Different Scott Walker.
That's true. I didn't even, yeah, right. This one's still with us and doing interesting stuff. The other thing I really want to mention is that the singer, Dara Keeley, you can't always make out his lyrics because it's so noisy and clattering, a lot of what they do. And they also, especially live, the vocals are pretty deep in the mix. But his lyrics, man, are like just, can I say, batshit
Yeah, you can swear.
Okay. They're like batshit kind of Dada. Like, there's tons of food references. Like, I can't even this song we're about to hear, Pears for Lunch. Well, pears are a food. There's bananas and garlic curry cheese chips mentioned in there, and then there's tons of these self-deprecating weird passages about, like, in this song we're about to hear, he also says, "I look crap with my top off," and he's always like sort of putting himself down. There's a song from the last. So one of their songs the song that really broke them was called Lawman last year, and. Sort of the hook line from that repeat throughout is, "I used to be good looking," which is really strange because he's not a bad looking guy. But he explained to me in this interview, I'm really going on about this, aren't I?
No, I love it. Keep going, man.
So he had legitimately a psychotic episode a couple years ago where he believed he was God. And one of the songs on the new album is actually sort of a retelling in a very punk, noisy punk way of a appointment he had with a doctor. He says, "Dara, you're not God, and your mom's concerned," and all this, and then he's
just
like
an FYI.
Asking his doctor what his favorite band is, and the doctor says ABBA, and then I can't even do Dara's lyrics justice, but he's a sweet guy, fascinating guy, but I was just sort of astounded that he was like sort of opening up about all this, telling me about, like, you know, the all their suggestions of sex therapy too. When he was apparently in a hospital for a while. Although he didn't really go too much into that detail, but he said, "Yeah, we were given all these suggestions about how to, when we're depressed, things we should do." And one was, it said, "Have on the sheet." They give us a sheet of paper. It said, "Have sex a lot." And he's like, "Who's the hell's gonna have sex with me in here?" So anyway, that's. I don't know if I even explained Girl Band very well, but they're a fascinating band, and I especially sing them live. I encourage anyone to see them live. And so this is Pears for Lunch is the one you have?
Pears for Lunch is the one we're choosing.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Jason, what did you
Yeah, I don't know how
about?
Much more I can add to that, but it's an interesting backstory. I'm glad that the guy is doing better.
Yeah, better, I think.
Okay, cool.
What he said was, I never want to go back to that place. I know I could go back there. It was horrible at the time, but I don't know, man. I got this record out of it.
Yeah, well, there you go. No, it's interesting. Yeah, they remind me, not remind me, but like the Girl Band and I love the Mets album from this year.
It's funny you should say that. They're big fans of Mets. Actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are two of my like noisier picks for this year. This is great, and it's a shame though because Joe has a very similar syndrome where he thinks he's God of this
really?
Podcast. Yeah.
Well, I did. Yeah, I mean,
like,
I
Jason.
Just saying, I
talk
know
about
everything
One Direction
before it's gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you were late with your picks. So
I know.
You need a little
come
prodding.
On, man. I can't believe I'm even here today. But
yeah. no, this song I think is awesome. I really liked just kind of how it, you know, it's like it has a pounding thing going to it and it just keeps building up in intensity. But whereas most bands would kind of like relieve that in some way, like that never really happens here. Like it just kind of like the anxiety just like keeps going in this song. Like it never has an explosion or a release. And I think that's a really like kind of bold, interesting move that you usually don't hear. Like usually bands build up something and then they like hit you with the go back to the chorus or whatever. They like milk it for something. Like this really doesn't, like this is not afraid to make you be like, I'm anxious.
Yeah. And take you, places you don't expect it to, yeah. And videos, I just, one final thing, they make some amazing videos. They collaborate with this one director and have done so for like 4 videos now. And each one is like weirder than the one before it. And they all sort of tie into a theme. Well, the last two anyway, Paul and Pears for Lunch, tie into this theme of like how we present ourselves and sometimes a false image that we put out to the world. And Pears for Lunch, if people want to check out the video, it's a guy with a television set as a head and all kinds of different images are playing in the TV that whether he's talking to his girlfriend or talking to at the gym or whatever, it's great stuff. Anyway, I've said enough about
cool.
them. Yeah, very, it's
that
very
reminds
cool.
me of, there's a 50s movie that's totally bizarre. I think it's called Twombly and it's about a TV who is God and controls everyone around him. So that kind of surreally ties this all together.
Wow.
All right.
Anyways.
I got nothing to add
so,
there.
So, yeah, let's listen to it. It's Girl Band, Pairs for Lunch. All right, that was Girl Band, an Irish band, and what's the album called?
God, you had to ask me.
Sorry. Well, I forgot. Whatever. They have an album.
They do. It's like... hang on. No, you just keep talking. We'll come back to that.
So next one, one of my picks. we're going to go Lana Del Rey, her new album, Honeymoon. The song I love so much on this album, but I'm picking Terrence Loves You, which I think is the third or fourth track. It's got this kind of rockabilly country twang, and then it moves into a more like string-laden, kind of like mournful ballad mode, which obviously that's Lana Del Rey's thing. But I really love how I feel like her lyrics are improving. And I never thought she was a bad lyricist, but I feel like they're getting more fun in a very sly way. Like there's a line in this, I lost myself when I lost you, but I still got jazz when I've got those blues, which is like, it kind of doubles as like a heartfelt emotional thing, as well as kind of that like winking Cole Porter-esque wordplay. And she just exists in such a like great postmodern context. And I hate that I just said postmodern context, but I'm going with it. Where it's like, she's not ironic because, you know, like she is like a sad balladeer, but she's also like aware of that. It's kind of like this, she's like in on how cliche she can be or how much of one thing she can be. And I feel like this song is just a great example of that. And if you're like kind of into that, you know, like retro throwback balladry with kind of strangely sly lyrics, like the album is just full of stuff like this. And I really love this song, but what did you guys think of this or the album?
Oh man. Sorry man. I was just talking to my friend online who's a huge Lana Del Rey fan, and I told her I think I'm just out on Lana Del Rey. Like I think I'm just even though she had released an album called Honeymoon while I was on my honeymoon.
What more do you want?
Exactly.
I think I'm just kind of out. Like I don't know. Like it just I like where she went with Ultraviolence. I like that she went with Dan from the Black Keys and made something that was really interesting and a little like out of focus, but in a great way. And I feel like I haven't heard, to be fair, I haven't heard the entire album yet. I know it just came out last Friday, I think.
Yeah.
But I heard everything she released before the album, and now I've heard this song. And I just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I don't really understand what she's bringing to the table this time around that's different than her last two albums. Like, you know, I watched the High by the Beach video actually overseas because they play a lot of like MTV hits. I don't know if you knew that, John. Like they like overseas, there's just all about like music videos and MTV hits. So I saw like the Lana Del Rey video a lot and the Justin Bieber video a lot, like just walking around and in shops. But anyway, and like, I don't know. Like I watched the High by the Beach video. I'm just like, and I felt the same way about the video that I felt about the song. I was like, all right, yeah, all right. Like,
I love that song too.
I don't know. Like I get no kind of sensation from listening to this album. I don't think that it's horrible by any means, but I just don't get any passion. She is a very clever lyricist. I totally agree with that. But in terms of the arrangements, in terms of the structure, in terms of how she is now presenting her voice, I don't get any of the kind of allure that I got on Born to Die. I don't get any of the kind of danger that I get on Ultraviolence. I just don't – it leaves me cold. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy now. But what do you think, John?
Oh, I'm older and fuddier. This is a hard artist for me to talk about because I've kind of not – I don't think I've gotten it from the beginning, but I actually felt Ultraviolence more than Born to Die. And in a way, I feel like mood-wise, this goes more back to Born to Die. Do you?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
But this song in particular, I actually do like. Excuse me. I think it's the prettiest song on the record, and I like the David Bowie reference, the Space Oddity. There's a Space Oddity reference in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do. I like this song a lot. It's hard to. I can evaluate the record and say that there's absolutely tracks on the record, the album that I like, that I do like. But I don't know. I've always been kind of the like, wake up, Lana. I want to. You know, here's a cup of coffee.
Knock
you
that know. Cigarette out of your mouth and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like a sort of a gritty sort of narrative and a character, sort of a noirish kind of character as much as anyone. I definitely like that kind of vibe. But I don't know. I also want realness, you know, to a degree. As a big Gaga fan, I sit here and tell you that I love realness. But
you were born that way.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, but this song in particular, I'm glad you chose this because I do like this song a lot.
All right. Well, we've got mixed feelings.
Split decision.
Split vote.
Yeah.
But let's listen to it. Lana Del Rey, Terrence Loves You from the new album Honeymoon. All right, that was the new Lana. Next, let's do... So we've got a Jason pick, one of the few things Jason deigned to listen to in Europe.
That's true. That is actually true. I did listen to this a lot.
We've got Troy Sivan, Wild, which is the title track from, I think, his fourth EP.
Or I don't know how many...
Wild,
this
but,
is,
it's, but yeah. It's an EP he's got.
It's definitely an EP.
And so, yeah, so he was in the office a little bit ago. He's awesome. We listened to these songs before they came out.
That was a fun day, yeah.
And I was... very like I'd heard his album or his EP before that and liked it, but I was surprised how kind of like fully realized these songs seemed. But what do you pick this? So what do you think?
Yeah, so you know, I think the whole Wild EP is worth listening to, but the title track is just something I've been returning to over and over again, and I just love the character and depth of his voice here. In the way that, going back to the Lana Del Rey song, like, I don't get that at all with her new album.
Just leave Lana out of this,
I will never leave Lana out of that. But I, from the first line that, maybe you've never heard Troye Sivan ever before this song. He's a YouTube star. He's from Australia. He's openly gay. And
also actor. He's a bigger actor over there, but I think he played young Wolverine in one of the 8 million X-Men movies exists.
How many Wolverine movies are there? There's like 8 of them, right?
I think there's 3, but then, of course, he's in every other like X-Men First Class Junior. And
is he? I don't know. I didn't know that.
Like, Hugh Jackman is just in like everything.
Yeah, but... anyway, no, I mentioned that he's openly gay because he is very pro-LGBT rights, and a lot of his music is about that. And Wild is a song it's a romantic song, and I kind of going back to his vocal take, like, maybe you've never heard him before, but from the first line, you just get a sense of who this guy is. You get a sense of the music he's trying to make and the approach to his vocal that he's taking, and I just think that this is so entrancing and really breathtaking in a way that I'm not really hearing a lot in modern pop music now. I just think that this is a song that I've been listening to it over and over and over again, and I love the effect that he has. And yeah, I'm like, I would say just put stock in Troye Sivan. I think he has an album coming soon. This was kind of like a preview of it, and yeah, I'm excited. So what did you guys think, John?
I like it a lot, and I've heard the EP, and I think it's great. A few things. For one thing about his voice, you mentioned his voice. When you look at him Troy. He's a slight guy. Yeah. You know, looks like, looks, I mean, what is he, 21, 20?
I think 20? Just
20.
20. 20. Yeah. Looks like he could be 15, you know? Mm-hmm. And totally. But he's got this surprisingly deep voice, like on the verses, like at the beginning of this track. Surprisingly, which is an interesting observation to me. And then, obviously, it, you know, this song has a really touching video to it of these two young kids who are best friends. And then we see at the end that it's revealed that they're more than friends. And it's just really sweet and understated and not hitting you over the head with anything, yeah. but just in that kind of natural way. And I think I don't want to speak for 20 somethings, but or 20 year olds, but I think that to an extent in this day and age, they're a little reluctant to be dragged into icon status, you know, yeah. but I think this year, I just think in a very natural way, we've had three young dudes. I've cued Mott the Hoople, all the young dudes, in Troye Sivan, Ollie Alexander, who's amazing from years and years, yep. and Shamir, all emerge in their own way. And Shamir doesn't identify as gay necessarily. But he also doesn't identify as, he did reject sort of male and female.
Yeah, he's post-gender.
Yes, exactly. And so I just think it's, you know, in this year of everything that's happened, so much that has happened this year from Caitlyn Jenner on, that it's cool and emblematic of 2015 that we've got these three like super talented, charming, charismatic young dudes doing their thing, and each somewhat different musically, but more power to Troy. And the other thing about him, he's like sort of, I wrote about this in a piece for EW earlier this year, and I mentioned Troy. One of the things that I think is kind of like an ace in the hole for him is that he's funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, funny helps. Funny helped immeasurably for Justin Timberlake. His comedic ability is what made him a successful pop star into this
totally
massive
Imagine
thing.
If Nick Jonas was funny.
Right.
Like, no, and I love Nick Jonas.
I love Nick Jonas.
Shout out to Nick Jonas. But right. like... He
had the comedic timing of a Nick Jonas. Or I mean of a Joe Jonas. Fuck, screwed that up. Never mind.
But like, if I totally agree, and I'm sorry to interrupt, John, but yeah, I mean, you mentioned Troy, Shamir, and Ollie from years and years. All those guys, all making great music and all just whip smart. They're all smart, on point guys. And if you Troy came in here and he's just a really passionate guy, really, really observant, and I talked
to Ollie last week, and we spent a good portion of the interview talking like socio-political stuff, and you know, he knows his shit, and like, I just can't say how important it is that, considering we've got a lot of young people in pop who don't care to engage in topical stuff very much, or just completely unaware of what ISIS is, for instance. you know, I don't know, but I think all three of those guys are just tremendous.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
Troye Sivan.
Yeah, Troye Sivan. I mean, I don't have much to add other than I like. I think this is the best song on the EP, and I appreciate he kind of goes off into like musically speaking. A little bit more experimental electronic stuff elsewhere on the EP, but I think he's at his strongest on something like this, which is a fairly introspective pop tune that still kind of lets the listener in, because you've got these kind of like a chorus of kids in the background like singing Haze and repeating what he's saying, which like kind of just naturally invites a sort of sing-along type scenario.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
15 Step, Radiohead.
Really?
Yeah, with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
More kids choruses. Come on.
More kids. I was thinking more like Where the Wild Things Are, like soundtrack, but you know, that's a little twee. But yeah, so it's Troye Sivan Wild. We've got Jason, who's a Troy boy, and John, who's a Sivan savant. And
wow. He was thinking about that the entire time we were going back.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
Like,
I graduated from Belieber to Sivan Sivan.
Yeah, exactly. Sivan. I hope
me and John were going back and forth about how great and smart this guy is, and Joe's just in there like, Savan. Savan.
Pretty much, yeah.
Troy boy.
That was more or less what was happening.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so let's do it. Wild from Troye Sivan.
Cause when you look like that, I've never ever wanted to be so bad. Oh, you drives me wild. You're driving me wild, wild.
All right, that is Troy. Next, we've got another John pick. We've got Otra Nova. And did
great.
I get that right?
It's yes. Good.
Good. And the song is World War Part 2. This is one, I have to say,
I don't want to scare you guys now with this pick.
This but. One, I the video is hard to, it's hard to like watch the video and not be mostly preoccupied by that instead of the music. The video is of two hairless, bald people.
One of which is Arthur from Otra Nova, but yeah.
Yeah.
Having sex. I mean, you don't see anything really, but they're in position and ready to go. And it's unpleasant to look at.
Well, I
find it's hairless, bald things unpleasant overall. But, you know, that's just me. What was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought with that. But the song is World War Part II. Before I toss it to you, John, I'd say I did, once I got past the video, I do like the song. It is kind of like, I imagine if, like, Sam Smith was just, like, edgier and weirder, like, he might do something like this. You know, no shots to Sam Smith.
Right.
But, like, it's that kind of new, like, alternative R&B, but like much more dangerous,
much more left field than Mr. Abel Tesfaye is mustering, particularly since he's moved to the right. I think we can agree. I guess I'll just say that. So I've liked Arthur Ashen, aka Otra Nova, he's been putting out music for like 5 years. His first EP was it, and like, I guess the operative word he's always used is that he likes to disrupt things, whether it's pop, R&B, or he's gone a couple different places with this record. But even if you listen to his first one, which is, I guess you'd say, a little bit more straightforward R&B pop, it's still chopped and screwed and messed around with all over the place, even from like the first track of his first release. But I guess a lot more people really noticed him with his last record, Anxiety, which had a couple songs on it that were, at least in the indie world, quite breakout. One Mickey Blanco was featured on.
What was the big single from that?
Counting. Well, there was two, Play by Play and Counting. So I'm.
Yeah, I think it was Play by Play.
Yeah. Play by Play was the one where the video, he was in this sort of bunker karaoke
was
situation.
Was that the
Yeah, yeah.
That was Play by Play?
Yeah.
That was counting.
Yeah. Let me just tell you. So the backstory with this album is that he decided to do a jazz session last year, because he's always been a sort of a jazz fan, and bring together these jazz players and do something that was, he was inspired by Astro Weeks, the Van Morrison classic Van Morrison record.
One of my faves.
And
I can see that for sure.
No, that's
like a classic. No, that's like a classic Joe record, I feel like. In a good way. It's a great way.
And
great album.
So he got these players together, most of whom I think he'd never worked with, and they just jammed for I think a week or two at a studio in Manhattan, and brought in some gospel singers as well. So, and then he took it all home and then just messed the whole thing up and worked on it for like a year. And so so a lot of what is on the record is there's elements of jazz, element for sure, choral elements, gospel mm-hmm. choruses you hear on it, but it definitely is out there. And you know, there's this pitch shifted little vocal weirdness on this song we're about to hear, World War Part Two, that lent itself to this woman who's attached. Have you seen the video? It's bizarre.
Yes.
Video.
Yes.
A lot of people are telling me they're like really disturbed by the video, and I'm a little, I don't get that. It is weird, but I don't get why people are so bothered by it. It's like some people are just like, I showed it to a friend the other night and he was like, I can't even watch the whole thing. And
I did find it very unpleasant, yeah, but I also watched the whole thing.
And I think it's
hairless, bald creatures, people.
Right.
I think what's most disturbing is when something is that place between it's so close to being familiar, yet it's off, you know? Like, because it's not totally freakish. It's not like Pan's Labyrinth, you know, where there's like an eye in the hand, but it's so close to looking normal, yet it isn't, and that's what really disturbs people.
So the idea was that she's a metaphor, the girl clinging to him is a metaphor for the shit we carry around with us through our lives, the psychological, emotional, whatever baggage we've got. And you can't get rid of it, and it's part of you. And so they got this dancer from Juilliard who was able to hang on to him for long extended shots. And apparently I read an interview with the director, and apparently there was some kind of genital covering involved, so they weren't 100%, but you don't see that covering. Mm-hmm. You don't see that covering. Anyway, yeah, it is a weird video, but it's and the song is pretty jarring. I love it though. I love it. and I'm telling you, the record is just amazing. There's so much to recommend it. A song called Cold Wind that is amazing. There's another video that he did for an a cappella version of the second track on it called Panic Room, which is a very American Idol, but like a dark American Idol audition style video. Yeah. And, and Ian Cohen from Pitchfork, the writer, is one of the judges. Anyway, it's just it's worth checking that out too. And then a brand new video just dropped today for the title track. Sorry, I'm just telling you too much. I'll just shut up now.
I don't know. Yeah, man. Like you're going deep with your picks. I appreciate it. And no, I'm definitely a fan. It scratches my like shoe itch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good.
And I could use a new Shoo Shoo album. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, no, super strange. I saw him actually at Outro Nouveau at Pitchfork Fest. And you know how the last album cover has like the dudes with the two gloved hands holding up a frame? Mm-hmm. So at Pitchfork Fest, like he just had two guys in like suits and white gloves holding up a frame the entire set. It was just like the strangest thing, but it was like very strange for strange sake, and I always appreciate that. I don't like this video. I can't recommend the video, but I really like the song. I love his voice. I love his arrangements. And my favorite one on the last one, just because I love this song so much, it's called A Lie. And it was like one of my favorite mm-hmm. songs of a couple years ago. I think it was 2013. And that's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's World War Part Two from Outre Nouveau.
Heartbreak, it's not enough. One word can last forever.
All right, that is the new Outre Nouveau, which John and I were trying to figure this out. He's named after, the name comes from an inscription from a medieval thing.
I believe it's at the cloisters, but yeah, it's old French and it loosely translates to want nothing else.
All right.
Want nothing else, but yeah.
Well, we've got something else, so
yeah.
Sorry,
Otra. And the name of the new album is The Age of Transparency, and out, I think it's out next week. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Next and last, we've got one of my growing faves, a guy called Daywave. Well, it's a band, but it's mostly this one guy. Come Home Now is the song. I forget what the name was of the last one we talked about, but it was a very like pleasant, sunny, depressive pop song. And this one is not quite as depressive, but it's still kind of that like happy, sad music thing. It has like an energy that reminds me of a little bit of a lo-fi, like early days Pains of Being Pure at Heart. But there's definitely some of that like psychedelic surfy throwback vibe going on. I think, there's a lot of music that kind of sounds like this in the world, whether it's from the late 60s or it's from 2015. But I really appreciate with Daywave is that their songs are just really sturdy. Like, you listen to it and it's the song craft is there and it sticks with you after the song is done. And like, it's a totally solid listen. Like, it's not just kind of that like background music sort of thing. Like, it's a legit song. Mm-hmm. And for as early in, I think they just got one EP out. Like, I'm just very excited to see where they can go if they're this kind of like fully arrived at this point in their career. But what did you think, guys? Slash,
I did not listen to this song.
Ugh.
Sorry, man. I thought we were going to talk about that new Joe Jonas jam, so I listened to that instead. But I'll let you guys go deep on Daywave.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. But I'm a sucker for this kind of, as you say, there are artists who do this kind of thing. I kept thinking the drums, and I kept thinking
totally.
Beach Fossils a little bit in there. But yeah, I mean, that kind of, I mean, like you said, I haven't heard a lot of his stuff, but if this is any indication, I think it's great. Definitely solid song. And the kind of jangly, pop. I mean, it's sort of, there's a timeless sort of thing to that.
Right. No, yeah. Exactly. It hits all the like switches that
right.
I enjoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is true though. Let's get to Jonas.
Oh man.
But let's listen to a little bit of the Daywave first, and then mm-hmm. we're gonna talk about a Jonas brother. But yeah, so this is Daywave. Come Home Now is the name of a new song. I think it's just a one-off single. Maybe it's from the upcoming album, not totally sure, but here it is. People always say, get out of your head. You've been in there too long, pretty soon you'll be dead. Then I fall off, I've been thinking too hard. I should go down now, think it out of my head. Alright, that's the new Daywave, and then let's end with, so Joe Jonas has a side
back.
Project that's actually
back from the wilderness.
Good.
Fast life,
DNC.
Fast life is slowing down a little bit.
His last
album was called Fast.
Okay,
life.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know that either.
You had all right. You go, and I'll talk about Fast Life for a second.
So Joe Jonas. I mean, obviously Nick Jonas went from being someone known for being one of the Jonas Brothers to this surprisingly like able breakout pop star. Who has, I mean, you know, like, I'm going to sound like I'm shading him. Like, I love Nick Jonas's singles, but basically he's doing a poppier version of The Weeknd, who now has turned into doing a much, much poppier version of The Weeknd with Can't Feel My Face. But Nick Jonas, like, really proved that, you know, he's a performer and he can stand on his own. And it's
and
just
a decent actor.
And a good actor,
yeah.
too.
He is
And, you know, exactly, and a great body. So
there you go.
Great body.
Checking all the boxes. And I never thought we would get to a place where at least, who knows about Nick Jonas? Maybe he's great, too. But two out of the three Jonas Brothers, like, seem to have,
Kevin's
like,
next.
Legit solo careers ahead of them. And I know Dance or DNC, the Nick Jonas, is a band. But, you know, it's basically Nick Jonas is why
Joe.
People are.
Joe Jonas.
Yeah. God. And this Joe Jonas song is just, it's funky and it's just like fun. I just can't believe how much I actually like this song. See, what was it called? See, Cake by the Ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it's great. It kind of reminds me of like a good Cobra Starship song. Like, it's just like very wacky and
mm-hmm.
goofy and doesn't take itself too seriously. It is not as good as Joe Jonas's solo. So wait, this is not a Joe Jonas. It's like a Joe Jonas band. Is that what's going on?
I was about to ask you if it was a project or a band.
I think it's
or
a band.
I think it's a band.
So it's like Joe Jonas and co.
More or less. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's recommended. But yeah, so Joe Jonas, way before Nick Jonas was breaking chains and getting jealous, I was like, Joe Jonas put out an album called Fast Life that absolutely no one cared about, except me, because the lead single was called See No More. It was written by Chris Brown. It sounds kind of like a Chris Brown, like mid-tempo pop song, and it's awesome. And I cannot recommend See No More enough. I remember when that song came out, I was literally going around playing it for friends. I was like, this song's so good. And people would be like, what the hell's wrong with you? This is back in 2011. I get very passionate about Joe Jonas, See No More. The rest of Fast Life is fine. He has a song with Lil Wayne on it.
Strange.
So there you go. Dropping Joe Jonas knowledge. This one's pretty good, though. Happy to have JoJo back.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I can't believe that we might live in a world where two of the male pop stars are Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, of the male. I like that.
Well, because there really aren't that many like successful male pop stars on the scene.
That's true.
I mean, it might be changing with people.
I mean, that's,
Troy coming up. But.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I wrote about that earlier in June. And I just, I think part of that is just the overwhelming domination of women, and there's like a woman in, of every size, style, you name it, out there, sort of really killing it and dominating. And the thing about Joe though is that I am glad he's back, because I thought that hasn't he just been kind of going to fashion shows for the last 4 years? Other than the record you were talking about, and DJing. After parties for fashion shows.
He's kind of been doing a little bit of everything, is what I would say. But yeah,
not acting, right?
No, not acting, I guess. But yeah, more of like the being seen and heard and whatnot. But
yeah,
I think he's like, hasn't he?
I think
I'm
you
totally
can. There comes
this,
there's a tipping point where you can be seen at too many fashion shows if you're not actually doing something. You know what I mean?
Lindsay Lohan thing, where it's like. Yeah. No, she had two albums.
Yeah.
But no one is like, she's a singer. You know, because she just doesn't. She just shows up to places more than she works.
I was talking to CL about this not too long ago.
And I'm a
Lilo fan. Because I interviewed CL for this upcoming EP she's got, right? And so obviously she's a huge star in Korea and sort of establishing herself here. But we were talking about the fact that she's seen in so many fashion contexts. And she's like, I have to be careful about that, because I don't want it to seem like I'm not an artist, that I'm someone who just goes to fashion shows. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Totally.
I think there are people who do that.
So take note, Nick Jonas or Joe Jonas. I cannot keep... God, whatever. I'm going to get them straight at
just
some point in my life.
Just a quick aside. Joe Jonas co-wrote a song on the last John Legend album. That's something else he was doing.
Huh.
Wow.
Good for him. Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to Cake by the Ocean from Dance. I think you say dance, spelled
I'll say
without
dance,
an A.
You say DNCA.
All right. Let's do the DNC and listen to it. Talk to me, baby. I'm going up on this. Sweet, sweet, baby. All right, that was a new Joe Jonas jam, and this has been a long one, a long, lengthy podcast.
It's really,
we haven't sat down to do this
true.
In a while.
This is a lot of fun. Good. I've gotten like progressively more jet lagged as this hour has gone on. I don't know. You've seen me like slumping in my chair more and more.
Go play girl. The girl band record will absolutely wake you up.
You can honestly just go to sleep. That's really what you need
I'm so
to do.
Tired.
Jason, it is awesome to have you back.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll be more awake and alert next week.
Yeah, I'm holding you to that. And John, thank you for coming
by.
Nice
to see you guys. Yeah, thanks.
Great to have you back.
Good to be here.
And thanks everyone for the picks, and thank you for listening, and we will see you actually again. We'll be back on a normal weekly basis next week. So Thanks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.